Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to read one verse. I'm going to read verse number 9, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 9. The scripture says, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you for another day of life. We thank you for another opportunity to be in your house. Lord, I thank you for those that are here. Thank you for those that have put aside the cares of this world and have come to be in your house. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us to be attentive. You'd help us to be alert. Please keep our minds from being distracted by the cares of this life. Help us to be able to focus our attention on the Word of God and what you have for us here today. Lord, I pray that each one of us would receive the truth we hear, and God, most of all, I pray that you would help us to be doers of your Word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. And when we leave today, help us all to be able to say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. And we'll thank you for all that you do. Now we ask and pray it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The title for the message today is Better Things. Better Things. And in getting started, I want to say one of, if not the main theme of Hebrews is the supremacy or superiority of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the goal of the writer is to convince us that the Lord Jesus Christ is superior in who he is and in what he has accomplished in the giving of himself as the one eternal sacrifice for our sins. And this is one reason why the writer, who most Bible students believe to be the Apostle Paul, well, this is why the writer repeatedly in his writing uses the word better. As a matter of fact, the word better shows up 13 times in the book of Hebrews, which turns out to be an average of one time per chapter. And whenever you check these references, when you go to the places where the word is used, this is what you learn. First of all, you learn that Jesus Christ is so much better than the angels. You find that in chapter 1 and verse number 4. He's not just better, he is so much better than the angels in his person, in who he is. You also find that his sacrifice, that one sacrifice that he made, was better than every sacrifice offered by anybody in the Old Testament. And as you continue to look at these references, you find out that because of who he is and what he has accomplished, we now have a better hope. That's chapter 7, verse 19. We have a better testament. That's chapter 7, verse 22. We have a better covenant. Chapter 8, verse 6. We have better promises. Chapter 8, verse 6. We have a better substance reserved for us in heaven. That's chapter 10, verse 34. And we are looking for a better country. Chapter 11, in verse number 16. And we have the possibility to attain to a better resurrection. That's chapter 11 and verse 35. And it's because of all of these things that I just said to you, because the Lord Jesus Christ is superior in his person and his work, that the writer says what he does right here in chapter 6 and verse number 9, the verse that we just read. I want you to look at it once again with me. The writer says, "But beloved, we are persuaded," here's that word, "better things of you." Better things of you. The "you" obviously is the beloved in the same verse. He says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. The beloved is a term used in the scripture on most occasions to refer to people who have been saved by the grace of God. People that are a part of God's family. We are called in the scripture the beloved of God. So what he says here is directed and is to be applied to people that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And what he says is beloved, you save people, those beloved of God, we are persuaded better things of you. And here's his message. What he's trying to get across is because we are saved, because we have a relationship with the one who is better than all others in his person and his work, we should be better people. Amen. Because we have that relationship with the one who is superior, the one who is supreme, who is better than all others, then you and I should be better people. In every facet of our being, irregardless of what you're talking about, from the top of our head to the sole of our feet, both inside and out, in body, soul, and spirit, we should be better than those who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We should live on a plane above the norm that we see in this world. I want all of us to understand this morning that something is badly out of place when a child of God lives on the same plane as people who profess to not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because we have that connection. You understand this morning, if you're saved, you are in him and he is in you, and he has promised that he will never leave you or forsake you. And because of the fact that he is in you, you have that connection. His betterness, if you will, should be seen in and through your life as a child of God. I'm not talking about us walking around with some holier-than-thou attitude. I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not talking about us walking around thinking, well, I'm better than everybody else. That's not what I'm talking about at all. Anybody that knows anything about the Lord Jesus Christ knows that's not how he lived his life, okay? He was meek and lowly, and he condescended, as the Bible says, to people that are meek and lowly. So I'm not talking about this better than everybody attitude, but what I'm talking about is us living a better life. Going by a different standard, being on a different level in our life than people who are not saved. That is how it should be. You understand this morning that because of his Son, Jesus Christ, God the Father is persuaded better things of you. You understand that? You understand this morning that because you're saved, y'all listening to me? Because you're saved, the Father expects more out of you than he does the people of this world who are not saved. He expects more out of you. Because you are in his family, because you have received his Son, because there's that relationship, that connection, your Father expects better things out of you. He does not want you to settle for a menial existence where you live on the same plane as people who are not saved. He is persuaded better things out of you. And again, something is way, way off base. I mean, it's messed up bad if we as saved people in our lives are not better than those people who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We should be better. Our Father has persuaded better things from us. For example, I'm just going to give you some things to think about here in the next few minutes. I believe that the Lord wants us to be better in our communication. In our communication. And what I'm referring to is our speech. our talk, our vocabulary, the things that we say, perhaps the way we say those things. I believe he wants us to be better in our communication than people who are lost. Think about it for a moment. Lost people lie. They lie. They curse, most of them. I'm talking about the norm here, the standard, okay? The rule, you might say. Most lost people lie. Most lost people curse. Most lost people gossip. They brag. They complain. They slander. They bear false witness. They talk too much. They're rude and unkind in the way they say things. They're very hurtful and demeaning in the things that they say. I'm talking about lost people. This is the norm. This is the average lost person. That's the way they communicate. That's how they use their mouth. And I can hear some saying now, well, yeah, that's how a lot of saved people talk too. And you know what I have to say, unfortunately? Amen. I know saved people that do the very same things that I just mentioned. But that's what I hope you understand is the whole point of this message today. The whole point of the message is to help us understand or maybe just remind us that our Father is persuaded better things of us. Yes, sometimes saved people communicate the way I just referred to. Yes, sometimes saved people lie and curse and gossip and slander and all of those things, but that is not how it should be. Our Father is persuaded better things. Because I'm a Christian, I ought to talk better than somebody who is not a Christian. Amen? Something's wrong when you have a group of lost people gathered around talking and saying all the things they do, and a Christian can just walk up and blend right in and nobody tell that person's saved. That's not normal. That's not the way God wants it to be. There ought to be a difference in my communication, amen? There should be a noticeable difference in the way I communicate because of the fact that I have a relationship with the one who is better than everybody else. Because I'm connected to him, his betterness ought to be seen in my life and through my life. Number one, in the way I communicate. My communication ought to be different. All of us need to work on that, amen? Need to work on it. We ought to be better in our communication. Here's another example. I believe not only should we be better in our communication, I believe we should be better in our conduct. Our conduct. Talking here about the way we live, how we conduct ourselves as we go through life. Would you agree with me that saved people ought to be better than lost people in the way they live? And something's out of whack. Something is wrong when saved people live like lost people. We ought to be better than that. Our Father is persuaded better things of us. Think about lost folk again. Lost people fornicate. Lost people commit adultery. Lost people steal. They cheat. They refuse to forgive those who have offended them. They gamble. They seek revenge. They do to others as others do to them. They hold grudges. They party. They drink. They do drugs. They listen to bad music. They get in fights, and on and on and on goes the list. And again, I hear some saying, well, I know Christians that do those things. And again, I'd have to say amen. Sometimes Christians act that way. But once again, the whole point of the message is that our Father is persuaded better things of us. Yes, sometimes we get out of line and we act the way lost people act. We conduct ourselves the same way, but that's not how it's supposed to be. Our Father is persuaded better things of us. He expects us because we're His children. And united with His Son, who is better than all others, to be better in the way we conduct ourselves. We're not to get down there on that same level and act that way. We're to be better in the way we conduct ourselves. I want to give you an illustration, something that happened just this week in my life. It was rather amazing. I had gotten up and left the house, and I forget what day of the week it was now. I believe it might have been Wednesday, but I'd gotten up and left fairly early. I left about 7:30. I'd gone out and was making some visits, and my phone rang. It was my wife, and she told me that our neighbor, who lives not directly across the street but over to my left a little bit across the road, had driven up in the yard on his pickup truck blowing the horn repeatedly, like 50 times, just blowing, obviously aggravated. She didn't go out, thank the Lord. I'm glad she didn't go out because she was scared. She didn't know what was going on. The fella is angry, and he spins off, burns off up the driveway, you know, so he's upset. And she calls me and tells me about it. And can I just be honest with you people here? When I got the phone call, I immediately began, my temperature began to go up, okay? I started getting angry. I didn't understand, because as far as I know, we've not got any problems. I didn't understand why he came to my house and scared my wife and son like that. So it bothered me, okay? I am a preacher, but I am also a human being. And it bothered me. So I thought about it for a while. I looked in the phone book to try to get his number to call and find out what was going on. I could not find his phone number, so I decided I'm going to go see him. I'm going to go talk to him and find out what's going on. I had sort of an idea. I figured it had something to do with my dog. Well, I go to his house, and he's on the back porch. I don't know if he was out there waiting on me or not, but this had been several hours later, but he's on his back porch. He's obviously angry. I get out. I said, how you doing? I said, did you come to my house today? Yes, I did, and he immediately lit into me. Very angry, and it was the dog, okay? And he begins to curse profusely. I mean, it's horrible. And he's getting close to me. And I stopped where I was, and I stood my ground, and I can just tell you honestly, I went to some dark places there for a few minutes in my mind. Places that I hadn't been in a long, long time. And everything within me wanted to hurt him really, really bad. I'm just telling you the honest God's truth. You can think whatever you want to of me. But everything in me wanted to hurt him really bad. But the whole time, tell y'all how the Holy Spirit works now. The whole time, as angry as I got, I could sense the Holy Spirit of God telling me to stay calm. Don't do anything stupid right here. Don't make the situation worse. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. All of this is in my mind. You ever seen that commercial where the devil's on one shoulder and the little angels on the other? Brother, I was there, all right? Part of me was saying, choke the life out of him. But the Holy Spirit was saying, you need to keep calm. You don't need to do anything stupid here. And I managed to be calm enough to tell him, look, I just stopped by to find out what the problem was. I'm sorry that my dog has caused you trouble. I did tell him that I didn't appreciate him scaring my wife, and that from that point on, if he needed to talk to me, if he could just come calmly, we could work the situation out. But I just stopped to tell you I was sorry. I'm going across the road right now. I've been gone all day, but I'm going to lock the dog up, and my dog will not be your problem anymore. Now, let me tell you what happened. It was like Jekyll and Hyde. He immediately changed from being the way he was to weeping. I'm not talking about just a sniffle. I'm talking about tears rolling down his cheeks to where before I could get out of his yard, he had apologized to me 30 or 40 times. Amen. And begged me, just over, bent over like this, emotional, begging me to tell my wife how sorry he was for scaring her. Asked me to pray for him. told me I might see him in church one day. Now, I wish I could stand here and tell you that that whole time I wasn't upset and it didn't bother me. That'd be a lie. But the Lord kept reminding me while I was standing there in this conversation, you need to be better than this. You're my child. You don't respond the way you used to respond to a situation like this. Now, what I want you to understand is, had I let the flesh win, that situation would have been bad. I might even be in jail this morning, literally. And do you know that since that conversation has been had, he drove up at my house yesterday with one of those boxes that you can plug in. It's a base and got flags where you can put a perimeter, and it has a collar and it keeps your dog from going just so far. Them things, I priced them, okay? He drove up in my yard and gave me one of those. On the way out, or fixing to leave, he said, do you need some work done on your driveway up by the road? And I did. When you come off the highway, it'd tear the front end off your car. 30 minutes later, he had a tractor with a bucket full of dirt, and he fixed my driveway for me. I'm not bragging on me, because I didn't handle that thing as well as I had hoped I would, okay? But I'm telling you that because I didn't do like I used to would do, I did better, okay, than I used to would have. You see how that situation turned out? Amen. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about this morning. When it comes to your conduct, your Father is expecting better out of you. He don't expect you to act the way you used to when somebody makes you mad, when somebody hurts your feelings. He doesn't expect you to go around the rest of your life holding a grudge and being bitter and nasty and mean because somebody hurts your feelings. He expects better out of you. He wants better from you than the lost people that you deal with every day. That's what he expects. Let me give you just a few more and I'll be finished. In our communication, we ought to be better. In our conduct, we ought to be better. I believe in our compassion, we ought to be better. The average lost person, they love those that love them. They do good to those that love them. And they'll always be limited to some degree in how much they can love, because with a lost person, the majority of the time, the one they love the most is their self. And they're so in love with their self that they're not willing to make sacrifices for other people like the Bible says we should be willing to do. Now again, sometimes that's how it is with those of us that are saved, but that's not how it should be. Our Father expects better out of us. He's persuaded better things. We should have a better quality and quantity of compassion than people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We should not only love those that love us, but Jesus Christ said we should love our enemies. Now, brethren, that's taking it to another level, isn't it? It's one thing to love somebody that's good to you and loves you, but do you love somebody who is against you? He said we are to do good and pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. That's taking the thing to another level. It's us loving people more than we love ourselves, being willing to lay down our lives for others. That's the kind of compassion that our Father expects out of us. That's a better compassion than what you see demonstrated in the world. Here's another one. Our communication, our conduct, our compassion, our call. Talking about our purpose. The average lost person lives for self. Life is all about achieving and acquiring whatever makes them happy. Whatever I've got to do to be happy, life's just about me. Whatever I've got to achieve, whatever I've got to acquire, as long as I'm happy. I hear people all the time using that as an excuse to not do something that is the right thing to do. I hear people getting out of relationships that they have made a commitment to, saying this, well, I'm just not happy anymore. That's how lost people act. That's how lost people conduct themselves. They just live for self. They just live for happiness, whatever provides them ease and comfort. They want to enjoy all the pleasures of life. That's just what life is about for the average lost person. How many of you know that's not what life is about for people who know Jesus Christ? Life for somebody who is saved is about living for Him. It's about pleasing Him. It's about us being willing, as Jesus Christ said, to deny ourselves. There's a revelation. Deny ourselves. Don't just always try to see what you can get to make you happy. Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him. That's what He expects from us. A better cause. If I'm living my life for the same reason as people who are unsaved, I've missed the boat somewhere. I've missed the boat. I have a higher calling. Amen. I am called to new heights, to a different level in my purpose for existing on this earth down here. And that's what my Father expects out of me. He's persuaded better things than that for me and for you. And here's the last one, and I'll be finished. We should be better in our communication, our conduct, our compassion, our cause. And really the list is, you could just continue to go on, but I'm going to stop with this one. I believe we should be better in our conviction. In our convictions. I'm talking about the things we believe. How many of you would agree with me this morning that if you're saved, you should have different convictions than people who are lost? What you believe should be vastly different from people who are unbelievers, people who don't know Christ as their Savior. Your convictions ought to be different. Something's wrong if I can get around a whole bunch of lost people and them spelling out all the things they believe and they stand for, and I am in agreement with them. There's something wrong with that picture. I ought to be different from them in the things that I believe. And again, sometimes Christians get all messed up and they agree with lost people in their convictions. That's not what our Father expects. He expects better things out of us. The average lost person you run into today thinks that abortion's all right. I mean, really. That shouldn't be my conviction. I should be convicted differently from that, okay? I shouldn't believe that abortion's all right. The average lost person says that homosexuality's okay. Amen? That's what they say. Just live and let live, you know, that kind of attitude. Well, I'm not that way, but if they want to be that way, it's all right. And try to get us to be tolerant and accepting of that way of life, which the Bible says is an abomination to God. If God will help me to keep my mind and give me grace, I will never agree with that. And there's something wrong with a saved person who says, well, I've thought about it, and I'm a little more educated than I once was, and I believe it's all right for people to be like that. It is not right for people to be like that. They were not born that way. They have made a conscious choice at some point in their life to be that way. And God is still against that, just like He's always been against that. And there's something wrong with me as a Christian if I have evolved, really de-evolved to the point that I say that lifestyle's okay. My Father expects better out of me than that. Coming along, some of you growing up, did your daddy ever say to you, son, don't you know better than that? I really think many times that's what our Father is saying to us from heaven. Son, daughter, don't you know better than that? And deep down inside, we do, don't we? We know. We know better than that. We know. And He expects better out of us. The average lost person thinks it's all right to live with somebody without being married to them. They think it's all right to shack up with people. Amen. You say, where do you stand on that? I'm against that. I'm against that. And you can call it hate speech or whatever you want to call it. I call it believing the Word of God and being convicted by what it says. That's what I call it. I don't believe it's all right for you to live with somebody for 2 or 3 years and then decide you want to get married. It's not right. Most lost people believe that the Word of God is not the truth. It's not the standard. They chalk it down as a book full of fables and lies, just stuff that somebody's made up somewhere along the way. My conviction about that should be different. Amen. What I'm saying is our Father expects better out of us. He's persuaded better things. The thing that I hope we leave here with this morning, those of us who are saved, is the understanding that because we are connected to the one who is better, amen, better than all others, our Father expects us to be better in the way we live our lives than people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, thank you for letting us be here today. Thank you for the Word of God, for the truth. Lord, help us to be receptive to the truth, and Lord, most of all, help us to apply it to our lives. Lord, if there is someone here today who's not saved, I pray that this day would be their day of salvation. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's please stand together.